Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Morgan, or I think he was the youngest of the group that met the Dunwich Horror on Sentinel Hill. But yes, I have to get away very shortly. And so I should tell you that I had, like Mr. Vernon Shea, I had the great privilege of exchanging a number of letters with Lovecraft during the last 3 or 4 months of his life. I at one time had thought back to that period as being longer, and that we had corresponded for 6 months about, but it just seemed that. It seemed that way because so much did happen. My wife wrote to Lovecraft originally, care of not Weird Tales, but Street and Smith, because I think The Shadow Out of Time had just been published, and wanting to know where people could get a hold of copies of his earlier stories. And so he wrote her a very courteous letter in reply, and then I got up my nerve to correspond with him. And the first letter from Lovecraft to my wife came on the 9th of, was dated the 9th of November by Lovecraft. And so our big correspondence really all took place in November, December, and the first part of January in 1937. It amazes me that it covered such a short period, because so many things happened to me in that time. We exchanged letters about his writing, and he read my first Fafford Mauser story that wasn't published, Adept's Gambit, that wasn't published until 1937, and very, very, very helpfully criticized it in some detail, but being very careful in his criticism, he always found something good to say about anyone's story. That's my experience of him. He was a very thoughtful, a critic who was very thoughtful of the authors he was criticizing. And if he had lived on to the 1960s, why, all I can say in the first place is that he would have had a much greater influence on my own writing, I think. I would have continued to correspond to him and look up to him as a sort of master, both in the weird tale, the tale of supernatural horror, and in general as a master in the arts of scholarship and living in general. I mean, I know that at the time my writing became more honest and more careful. I began to write like so many people did that met him. I began to write a Lovecraftian type story that I finally completed in the 1970s, the Terror from the Depths, because at the time when he died, I laid it aside because I really wasn't up to handling it without more help from him, probably at that time, some suggestions from him. And so, and it also my reaction to his death was that, you know, not to try to write imitatively, certainly, in any way. But I think if he had lived on into the into the 1960s, he would have reached recognition both as a writer of supernatural horror and of science fiction, because his novel The Shadow Out of Time would have been published as it was in the Viking Portable Novels of Science, edited by Donald Wolheim. And generally speaking, there wouldn't have been any opposition between science fiction and supernatural horror stories as developed in the 50s and 60s when his stories were being reprinted by Arkham House. I don't think there would have been any sort of opposition. I think Lovecraft himself would have maintained in general a sort of scientific skepticism during that period. He would have been a skeptic about phenomena like such as flying saucers. I remember I wrote him with great enthusiasm about the books of Charles Fort, and he wrote back a long letter in which he explained that he thought Fort was a great source book for people who wrote weird fiction, but that he didn't take Fort's refutations of scientific discovery very seriously. He said that scientists had to be agreed in a much more detailed way. They couldn't accept even very well authenticated reports of strange flying objects and such things unless they were confirmed by subsequent reports, and unless he explained to me how science deals with phenomena that can be repeated, either as experiments that can be done by other persons or observations that can be made by other persons if they follow the directions that led to the first observation. And so he really did a great deal to make me more of a scientific skeptic in my own outlook. That was the result I had in that was the result of his outlooks on in influencing mine. And I was thinking of that yesterday when I read the end of the Dunwich Horror, where there is a very homely sort of indication of Lovecraft's feelings about science. It's where Dr. Armitage and the other two, Professors Rice and Morgan, I think they were, they're going up Sentinel Hill, and they leave their pocket telescope with the Dunwich farmers through which they later see the face of Yog-Sothoth's son. And there's a great deal about explaining how difficult it is to even adjust for an ordinary individual, a layman who isn't familiar with telescopes, to adjust even a simple pocket telescope. And there's details about how Armitage and Rice and Morgan remembered enough of this, so they gave detailed instructions to the farmers on how to focus the telescope and how to make use of it. Lovecraft did have this sort of feeling for the realities of science, and I think it was always with him, and on the whole never left him. That's one of my reactions there. I do think that in the end of supernatural horror and literature, Lovecraft makes some speculations about the future, and he says that one thing is certain, that scientific discovery, intra-atomic physics, and long-distance astronomy, I mean out to the galaxies and beyond, would continue to stimulate the imagination of fantasy writers. And of course that was the case, and I think Lovecraft himself would have found great stimulation in modern day astronomy. Can you imagine how much he would have been fascinated by black holes and the theories of the expanding universe and the theories that led to the modern concept that all suns of a certain type are probably accompanied by planets, and that planets aren't the rare things that Moulton thought they were back in the days when Lovecraft was writing science fiction. And so I think that would have kept his interests alive. I think as far as science fiction is concerned, he would have appreciated the development of more literary writers, even in the magazines, and undoubtedly the magazine Unknown Worlds would have approved many of the stories in that, and would have been led to see that the influence of Weird Tales and of the fantasy magazines was spreading and into science fiction and stimulating them. So I think some of the bitter oppositions between Lovecraftian writers and science fiction writers would probably never have developed at all in that cosmos. Well, I think that unless there's some questions you want to ask as to something I could provide for this discussion, I think that ends my contribution.
Well, since you're planning to leave early, why don't we allow some member from the audience to ask you a question before you disappear?
Yes.
Where did your Lovecraftian story appear in what publication?
Oh, it was The Disciples of Thulu, edited by Paul Berglund.
But then reappeared.
It was Daw Publications. No, it's going to be in a volume called Heroes and Horrors, a collection of my stories that Whispers Press is bringing out this fall.
Thank you, Professor Armitage.
Thank you.